West Virginia Public Broadcasting reporter Molly Bourne and Charleston Gazette reporter Katie Coyne have been working on a series of stories about water infrastructure issues in the southern coal fields. They're both fellows with Report for America, an initiative that aims to strengthen local journalism. This week, they'll publish some of their stories along with the Lexington Herald Leader. West Virginia Public Broadcasting News Director Jesse Wright spoke with them in the studio about the work.
Katie and Molly, thanks for coming in. So can you tell us a little bit about what you've been working on this fall?
Yeah, so all three Report for America fellows, we all did stories this year about water. And in our reporting, we talked to families who live without clean, reliable drinking water pretty much every day. So many of them, they go like great lengths to get water. They collect rainwater in buckets, and they drive these winding back roads to fill up jugs at natural springs flowing out of the mountain. And really, for some, taking a shower is a luxury.
One of the families we talked to were the Colemans and Gary in McDowell County. They grew up there. They moved away and raised their kids somewhere else and came back in 2010. But every morning now when they wake up, they turn on their faucet. They don't know what color the water is going to be. And they spend over $300 a month on backup water, bottled water, just in case. They put filters onto their system and it still comes out this deep, rusty, red color.
It makes you mad, frustrated, angry, worried. You know, if it's that color today, do I want to get in it tomorrow? Basically, if it's coming through a filter, and it is still looks like mud when it runs into the bathtub.
Clearly, these issues aren't unique to West Virginia and Kentucky coal fields. What sets these areas apart from, say, Flint, Michigan?
In all of West Virginia, there are 10 water systems that have been under boil water advisories for longer than 5 years. All 10 of those are in southern West Virginia. Most are in McDowell, Wyoming, and Mercer, and there's one in Fayette County. And when we look at those, I mean, The reason is the same for all of them. They don't have someone qualified to operate their system, and that goes back to all these issues that are especially prevalent in Appalachia. We have high population loss. People are leaving, and when they leave, that means there aren't people qualified to take these jobs, and they take a lot of training and a lot of time. And for the people in these systems, I mean, the water could be good, it could be bad. The takeaway there is no one knows. So from the Bureau of Public Health's perspective, they'll send out these boil water advisories because they don't know and they don't have funding to send someone out and do more testing. There's nothing being done to help these systems that are knowingly worse off than perhaps other systems in the region.
So tell me a little bit more. What else did you find out?
I talked to a family doctor. She works in Pineville in Wyoming County and also in Gary in McDowell County. Her name's Joanna Bailey. And she said that patients bring up concerns about water almost every day, whether it's parents concerned about the water that their kids are drinking or themselves, what they're drinking. And she's really worried about a lot of things, just a constellation of issues that families just don't consider water to be a staple of their diets. She's worried that they're chronically dehydrated. She is also worried that some of the water that we mentioned earlier that people are getting out of these springs on the side of the mountain or elsewhere is not necessarily water that is tested or water that we can decisively say one way or the other is good or bad.
Often they'll say, oh, we can't drink our tap water, or we don't have city water, or I don't trust the tap water. So that comes up almost all the time. Every single well child check.
It's interesting. She's actually in the early stages of a research project, and that will examine whether water concerns are actually driving people to buy these sugary drinks and soda that can lead to health problems.
Yeah, that is interesting. Something we should definitely follow up on. So this reporting didn't just look at the problems, though. What kind of solutions did you find?
One thing that a lot of people say can help is regionalization, and that's smaller communities that are nearby coming together and forming a bigger community and a bigger water system. So these systems are racked in debt because they have to take out loans to afford projects to better service. And if you have more people paying bills, you have more people to cover the cost for that stuff. But there's one system right now where they're trying to do this in North Fork and Keystone, and the whole point is to get these people clean, reliable drinking water. And those are two systems that have been beleaguered for years.
Yeah, so in North Fork, it's interesting. They're so used to this that the local clinic actually has stored buckets of water that they can use if the water service goes out altogether. And that can happen several times a month. Sometimes it won't happen for months at a time. But even patients that go there know to grab a bucket and use that water to flush the toilet whenever they have to use the restroom there.
Wow. Well, so some of the aging infrastructure problems don't just involve water, though. What did you find out about the sewer systems?
Well, sewer systems are facing similar issues, but we have less sewer systems. And what we do have now is aging to the point that it's not, it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And a lot of these places are on septic systems that are operated through pipes that kind of drain straight into rivers. And that was outlawed years ago, but it's still happening because a lot of places were grandfathered in. So in Stallings, a community in Logan County, they dump right into the Guyandot. It was supposed to be a temporary system, and there was supposed to be an entire sewage system installed that connects them to the city in 2022, but the city at this point hasn't sought any funding out for that. The people in this community, they did everything they were told to do. They got signatures. They formed a neighborhood association. But they haven't heard anything from the city, and there hasn't been any real proof that they're going to ever see any fix. I mean, it's so bad. You walk around, and whenever, right after it rains, and even on regular hot days, you can see the sewage pooling in the streets. They call them sewage swamps, and it's impossible to ignore the smell. We were walking down there one day, and this guy kind of ran out of his backyard, and he said, "Get away from there. You're going to get sick. Stop smelling that."
And also in Chatteroy in Mingo County, there's another issue. There's these manholes that back up when it rains, and it overflows into the street. And, I mean, there's raw sewage and pieces of toilet paper and other waste that can get into the street. One resident showed us a video of it just the water just sort of flowing down his street and all of the debris in there. And families, you know, understandably, are hesitant to let their kids play outside. It's estimated that it would take like $6 million to fix the system. And they're on a public sewer system. So we talked to Megan Hatfield Montgomery. She's a nurse who lives in Chatteroy with her husband and her two kids. And several times a year, she might just go days without being able to flush her toilets or take showers or wash clothes. In the spring, they went like 15 days like this. So here she is talking to us in August during one storm.
I know that we live in a poor state and there's not funding or whatever, but this just doesn't seem fair that we're having to deal with this.
So talking about the overall project here, I mean, that does seem to really signify some of the things that folks are dealing with. Can you each tell us a little bit more about the Report for America experience? What was it like to work on a project of this size and scope?
You know, someone I talked to for this story told me that he perceives this defeatist mentality in this part of the state, that people think they're always going to be picked on, and that's just part and parcel of living in southern West Virginia, and I hate that. And working on this series was, I think, very meaningful to all of us. And you know, it meant driving hours to some of the most rural parts of the state to hear people's stories, but it was worth it, and they are worth it.
For me, this has been a really eye-opening experience. I mean, really, really getting down and going into these communities in southern West Virginia and meeting these people. I mean, if you want to be inspired, go to a community meeting in McDowell County and feel kind of the anger that just simmers there sometimes when people come in and they make promises to fix things and to change things and improve them, but the residents have heard these promises for years. It makes me appreciate what I have, mm-hmm. and appreciate that I have the means to kind of go out and tell these stories and be an outlet for people that feel like they're not being heard.
So that's a lot to think about for our audience. And I just appreciate you both coming in and telling us a little bit about what you've been working on. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can read stories in this series at wvpublic.org, at the Charleston Gazette Mail's website, and at the Lexington Herald Leader's website.